Good morning. I am glad for the opportunity to speak this morning. I have been looking forward to this for several weeks now. I am glad that so many of you chose to come out and worship God with us this morning. I am glad to see so many guests here with us, especially my friends JD and Tori. I just spent a week with my sister at camp. They're all camped out. Nobody was tired Friday night when we picked them up from camp, but they slept all Saturday afternoon, so you can figure that one out. As Christians, we talk a lot about blessings. So-and-so is blessed. There are blessings from God. We bless each other. But what is a blessing? Considering the New Testament only, someone who is blessed is happy or in a state of contentment. This is the Greek makarios, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. The Greek eulogio, the other word for blessing in the New Testament, is to ask God's blessing on someone. This means to ask God to cause them to prosper and make them happy. Blessing occurs through the giving of gifts. Gifts are the means through which someone is blessed. A gift does not have to be physical. It can be spiritual, for instance, or emotional. To edify or build someone up is a gift of encouraging words. You see, blessing itself is an intangible concept. You cannot just give someone blessings. There must be a medium through which to do that, and that is the gift. So when looking throughout Scripture, we can begin to understand how God has blessed us by learning about the gifts he has given us. The most important part of understanding blessings is to know that God is the source of all blessings. This is our Scripture, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Everything good comes from God. Mark 10 and verse 18 says, "No one is good but one, that is God." And blessings are how that goodness is shared from God to people and between people. God is seen through all blessings. God is goodness, and goodness is God. So anytime goodness is shown to this world, a little part of God is being revealed. This can be anything from a seemingly smaller blessing all the way to something great. In Matthew 5:45, Jesus says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. God's rain falling on everyone shows his faithfulness, even to those who are unfaithful to him. You can learn about God. God is revealed. God is seen in each blessing that we have. Likewise, God's offer of salvation, a blessing of far greater magnitude than rain, is forever extended to all people. In every blessing, there is something to be learned about God and an opportunity to draw closer to him. So let's talk about physical blessings. As I just mentioned, they are liberally given to believers and unbelievers alike. This is not the case with all blessings, but it is with physical blessings. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how will he not much clothe you, much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Jesus is saying here that God, the all-seeing, all-powerful God who created the universe, he says to us, what is man that we are mindful of him, that you are mindful of him, God? He says to man, mere man, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, and he says, "Seek me first, and these things will be given to you as well." That is truly amazing. How can we not help but be confident and protected in the blessings of our great God? God's physical blessings are intended to protect and to sustain, to nourish his creation, as well as having many other roles I'm sure none of us can fully comprehend. Let's move on to spiritual blessings. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll spend a little bit of time there this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In this passage, Paul enumerates the spiritual blessings that we have. We'll begin with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's important. That's a qualifier for everything that is to follow, because these spiritual blessings are only found in Christ. See, God gives alike to the believer and the non-believer, but the spiritual blessings only come through Christ and only come to the saved. So, beginning in verses 4 through 6, well here's another qualifier. I don't know whether your Bible says predestined or elected, but it's along the same lines. This idea of election or predestination to those who are united to Christ, the idea of election or predestination to those who united, okay, I'm sorry. Election or predestination does not refer to some process where God arbitrarily chooses who is to be saved and who is to be lost. It is that those who are united to Christ by faith are the ones who are elected to receive these spiritual blessings. So those are two qualifiers as we begin to look at these spiritual blessings. The first blessing found in verse 4, that those in Christ would be holy and blameless. Verse 4 says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verses 5 and 6, we see a blessing that those in Christ become sons of God and recipients of his grace. We are adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's a blessing, a great blessing. In verses 7 and 8, we see that those in Christ have forgiveness because their sins have been paid for by Christ's blood. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Christ's blood is a blessing without which salvation would not be possible. Verses 9 through 10, we see that those in Christ have insight into God's plan for man, the whole picture. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Do we realize how much of a blessing it is to understand the big picture of not only God, but what God has done with mankind from the beginning, from where we came from to where we're going to what we're doing in between? It's such a tremendous blessing that can bless every day of our lives, because when we understand the big picture, We can wake up and live with purpose every day, understanding how it all works together to an extent. We don't know everything, but we know that we're told what we need to know in the Bible. And when we understand when we understand what God has revealed to us, although we can't understand the full working of God, we can live each day with purpose, seeing what God wants us to see of how we fit into his plan. Verses 11 and 12, that those first in Christ are for God's glory and praise. This blessing is the opportunity to show God's glory to others and praise him. Verse 11 and 12 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. See, the first trusted in Christ there is not that we're the first Christians ever. It's that when we are speaking to people about Christ and converting people bringing people to the Lord, We are the ones who first believed in Christ relative to them. So this blessing is the opportunity to show God's glory to others and to praise him. That those first in Christ are for God's glory and praise. That's a blessing of purpose as well. And finally, in verses 13 through 14, we see the blessing of possession of the Holy Spirit. Among many other things, which the scope of this lesson does not cover, this is the blessing of close communication and communion with God. Verses 13 and 14 says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In verse 14, instead of guarantee, some of your Bibles may say promise. The Holy Spirit is also what identifies believers to receive other promises, such as resurrection and eternal life. See, the Holy Spirit, if you look in Acts, it was marking. It marked who could receive the gospel, and it marked who the Christians were, and that continues today. The Holy Spirit is what identifies believers to receive other promises, such as resurrection and eternal life. So, from examining physical blessings and spiritual blessings, we can see that we are a blessed people, and that being blessed has to do with contentment and happiness, fullness. We see that God has made us happy, made us content. So what should we do? Well, first we should glorify God. Psalm 118 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." There's another side, those who do not glorify God, although they receive many blessings every day. This is found in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They did not praise God for his blessings. They were not thankful, even though his blessings was literally the very thing keeping the air going out in and out of their lungs. We must bless others with what we have. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." An analogy comes to mind of, I like to make pancakes, and that usually takes a cup of flour to make pancakes. Well, when I was a kid, I thought that more flour in the cup was better, so I would press the flour down into the cup and keep adding more, and Mom would say, "No, you'll mess up the recipe because that's too much flour." But if we give a cup of loosely packed flour, we're going to get that cup back, just overflowing, packed in way more than we were able to give is what God has blessed us with in return. So we must bless others with what we have. But we know that blessings or good things do not come from us, but from God first. But this is an amazing thought. We are so blessed by God that we are overflowing, and we have the opportunity to share God's bounty with us, with those around us every day. God is working through us. Remember how I said that in every blessing, God can be seen? Well, if I bless someone else, guess what? God can be seen. God is working through me, and I have more than enough to give, and I will get back more than I gave. However, we must make sure to do this with the right attitude, not to be seen by men. We're told this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When we bless others, we reflect God. The verse that I already read, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Oh, I'm sorry, I need to read the beginning of the verse. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Who is the Son of God? Jesus, right? So if we're trying to be sons of God, who should we emulate? Jesus, who blesses those, who blesses others without withholding. Finally, in blessing others, we serve and glorify God. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it with me, to me. So we live in such a hurting world, and it's a dark world, and the only source of goodness is God. And God works in such a large way through us today. So really, a large part of the goodness in this world comes from us ourselves. And God says, when you bless someone else, someone who is hurting, someone who is lost, someone who needs basic food and clothes and water, God says, that means so much to me that it's like you gave it to me myself. So what should we do? We should enjoy the physical blessings. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the Jewish people had gathered for a holiday which included a large assembly. It puts me in mind of the Christians' holy day of worship, the first day of the week. And Nehemiah and Ezra say, the day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we should enjoy the physical blessings that we've just learned about. And God has given us those things to enrich our lives and to sustain us. We should enjoy the spiritual blessings. To enjoy them, we must realize their value. In John chapter 4 and verse 14, Jesus says, whoever drinks of this water, and he's talking about physical water, he's sitting beside a well, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. As great as physical blessings are, we must understand the magnitude of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ and rejoice in them. Cling to them. David in Psalm 35 says, and my soul shall rejoice in the Lord, it shall exalt in his salvation. Finally, pray often. Use the blessing of the Holy Spirit to help you pray. Spiritual blessings are strengthened through prayer. So, these blessings in mind, what shall we do? Well, we should be engaged in ministry. Ministry is strengthened through blessings. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 14. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This is Paul echoing the words of Jesus that we read earlier on. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God says you're going to have enough to do what I've called you to do. As it is written, he has dispersed the bride, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Let's skip down to verse 12. And Paul is discussing here, the church at Corinth was giving financially to a ministry. And he says, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Physically giving not only blesses the needs of others, it causes those who receive to praise God. It causes those who receive to glorify God that you became a Christian. And verse 15, as Paul finishes speaking about all the good that comes when Christians bless others, he brings it back to God, who we know is the source of all blessings. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Isn't it wonderful what God has purposed to do through us? Finally, I'd like to talk about Christ as the ultimate gift. Let's remember our definition of blessing. A blessing originates from God. It does good, and through a blessing, God can be seen and is revealed. This definition fits Christ. Christ originates from God. In John 6:38, he says, "For I have come down from heaven." Christ did so much good before he even went to the cross. Matthew 15 says, "And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them." Jesus did so much good before he even went to the cross and made possible the greatest gift of our salvation. So, originates from God, does good, thirdly, through which God is revealed. Not only, Jesus was such a blessing that not only was God revealed through Jesus was God himself. Matthew 26, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." Christ is the definition of the ultimate blessing or the ultimate gift to mankind. The gift of Christ and the gift of salvation are not different. Salvation came through Christ and is found only in him. I'd like to read a story about a man named Zacchaeus before we close this morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus was lost in searching for Christ. Aren't we all lost in searching for Christ at one point? But Zacchaeus was blessed by Christ's presence and received him joyfully. Because of this, Zacchaeus received salvation. I have mentioned several times that physical blessings are for everyone, but spiritual blessings are only for those in Christ. Sadly, if you've never dedicated your life to Christ, you do not have the blessing of salvation. But God has made a promise to you. The blessing is waiting for you. Jesus promises the gift of salvation in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to them him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the promise of salvation. Zacchaeus was searching for Jesus, and Jesus blessed him with his presence. Jesus has made the offer to bless you with his presence if you will receive him. You must joyously receive Jesus and gladly receive his word, and you will be saved. Acts 2:41 says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." If you would like to receive the blessing of salvation this morning, please come down and talk to me as we sing this song. But for all of us this morning, I'd like to quote Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." For all of us here, there is one thing I want this church to know. Leave this morning knowing that you are blessed, and go forth blessing others. Let's sing.